the guest right on the line now, and I am so delighted this evening to talk to Te Uruarua Flavel. And of course, we all know Te Uruarua. He was previously the co-leader of the Māori Party, and I'm not quite sure what he's doing these days, so I want to catch up with him about how's life. And also, I would like to talk to Te Uruarua about Matariki and maybe what he is, what it means to him, his family, and are they doing anything to celebrate Matariki this weekend. Kia ora Te Uruarua. Welcome to tonight and also to our listeners, our Wātea listeners.
Tēnā koe, mera pika, nice to talk to you and good to catch up. Thank you so much for the invitation to join you tonight.
Yeah, well, I haven't spoken to you for a while, and I thought, well, I'll start off by asking you, how's life and what's up?
Oh, yeah, pretty busy at the moment. I'm talking about sort of employment. I've got a job teaching at Waikato University as lecturing in the Te Reti Waitangi paper. I've done a little bit of work with Whakaata Māori, Māori Television, and then I've got other clients of people who are coming to me talking about wanting to find out about how Māori, your people, tick, and just helping out companies and individuals around on their language journey as well. So it's sort of interesting work. It sort of all come to a head this last month or so because over COVID, one part of the stuff I've been teaching is to try and take those people I deal with onto marae, because many of them haven't been on a marae, and stay overnight and then do some cultural planning with them about where they want to head as companies or by themselves. But marae were all shut down through COVID, and I've just managed to try and I found you know, one or two marae that I work with, both my own and one up in Auckland, because there's a lot of people up in Auckland, a number of businesses up there that I'm working with to get them over the line in terms of cultural confidence. And so, part of that is to try and give them that marae experience, but that's been very hard because the marae's have been shut down. So I've had probably about 4 or 5 weeks in a row of noho marae, and it's been great, wonderful, get back to the marae. But, of course, been so busy and trying to do a number of that's without all the iwi things that's sort of going on with meetings and the various committees I'm involved with. So I'm pretty busy. I thought I was going to have a nice little, you know, little quiet little time at home and be able to spend more time at home with my wife and so on. But I got my mokopuna here this weekend, so that's all good. We'll have some time with them. So, yeah, still pretty busy, but hopefully I want to tune it down a bit. I better start learning how to say no.
Yes, well, I don't think that's going to be an easy. That's not going to be easy for you. But listen, I'm so pleased with what you're telling me about the mahi that you're doing to Uruarua, because honestly, 5 years ago, you should have been doing that same mahi. You're good at it. You're good at it, and you've got the nākau for it. I can tell you that now. And people will respond to you, particularly people who feel perhaps a little bit challenged by when you talk about the treaty. They think they've got an idea. Maybe if obviously with Pākehā, some of them might feel quite confronted by it all and fearful of learning it, and then learning from a Māori, they think, oh, we're going to get hammered. And not at all. They'll come away absolutely having the utmost respect for the treaty and what it was designed to do, but more importantly, to Uruarua, because of the wonderful way that you will impart that knowledge to them. So I'm so pleased, and I'm saying to you, you're 5 years behind the time, because this was your destiny to teach that and to help people to understand about our nation. And so when I say, I'm not being unkind, but I would have loved to have seen you doing this 5 years ago. How's that?
Yeah, well, I probably would have been. Well, I suppose in a sense it was, yeah, well, I mean, I enjoyed my time at Te Wānanga of Te Aroha. I love that place. It's a beautiful, beautiful environment that I really enjoyed. I love the people there, love my job, but, you know, it just wasn't to be. So I've come and been at it for now probably about a year or so. I do enjoy it. A lot of travelling, which is that probably that's the down part, because I was sort of over travelling. And you have to go to the businesses that many of whom are in Auckland. I went to one today in Wellington. I'll be working with them. So it's sort of, you have to just go where the mahi is. So I don't enjoy that part too much, but I do enjoy the interactions with people. And you're right that there's a real appetite now that once people do get some information, they actually do really appreciate it. And I'm finding that with students at the university who come to the class, I've had class of about 150 doing, or yeah, maybe about 120, sorry, that have been doing it. And then I've got individual companies that range from, that I usually work with the chief executive or the leadership of the group. They're usually sitting at around, I don't know, probably about a dozen or so that are really keen. But you've got to take them on a journey. And even today, in Wellington with a group, you know, you got to work it carefully, because there's some hard feelings that you got to put in front of people. There's some hard quarter that they definitely acknowledge that they haven't got, that they never had when they're at school, and yet they have experienced it, both in the wonderful experiences that we have with Māori communities. Had the one guy today talk about his time in Whakatāne as a Pākehā, and he couldn't believe the racism when he had to flick on the other side of the fence that was in Pākehā communities, and yet Māori were so open and welcoming to him. And others who say, you know, they just didn't get anything because they've been locked away on a farm way down the middle of the South Island, never have any interactions with Māori, and just see everything from far a distance. And yet here we are with our Māori footprint all over the country. So it is interesting work. It is interesting working with people. You've got to do it very carefully so that you don't turn people off and keep them with you, and that they acknowledge usually now that, you know, once they have been over this stuff, they actually do have a real appreciation about our history. The ones I fear for, though, Merepeka, are our own people, because I'm ending up spending a bit of time with Pākehās, and we need to spend some time with our own, because they're the ones that haven't necessarily got kōrero, albeit those ones that go to university get it. But even then, I'm sort of shocked over the fact that so many of our young ones actually haven't got that political analysis stuff. It's not their fault, because that's just not how the system works. But that political analysis and background history, that things that I take for granted, probably you take for granted, is just not in the next generation. And if ever we need leadership that's going to come through that not only confident in te reo Māori and te reo Pākehā, we need people that are politically astute. And you've been around the traps, you know, a fair while, so you know about that stuff just as much as I do. But we really need to have, we need to step up, and I've sort of been thinking about how we might be able to do that. Which is, in fact, that's why we're sort of been really pushing for this young leadership course in Waikato University to get that up and running, so that we do get some young ones that are coming through with that political overview that can really step up and move our people forward at a tribal level and also national politics.
Well, you were saying to Uraroa that, you know, you're teaching a Treaty of Waitangi paper at Waikato, and I thought to myself, oh God, I wish that was available locally here in Rotorua. And the reason I say that is I had the opportunity to go out to a noho marae with staff from the council and Rotorua Council and Rotorua Lakes Council. And of course I went out because the invitation is always open to councillors as well, and sometimes I think it's good to go out and just, you know, just to be seen and well, not so much to be seen, but just to show that you're interested too. So I went out, and you know, when they put up on the overhead on the screen the chronology of events that had disenfranchised us from either our lands or our language, all of this, you know, and it just really brings it home to you. And every once in a while, we need to refresh ourselves. Those who know some stuff need to refresh themselves, and those that don't know it need to hopefully think about an opportunity that can be created for them to actually learn these things. And because it's an eye-opener to everybody that sits in on these classes and watches and hears the explanations that is giving. And, you know, sometimes I've come out and I've thought, you know, Te Uraroa, that the country is lucky that we've never rioted in recent years, you know.
That's
never
true.
Rioted.
Well, that's right.
That's what I thought.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I've been past your house and seen the Tino Rangatira Tanga flag up and think to myself, jingers, you know, jingers, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, well, probably, you know, 15 years ago, you know, it would be either that flagpole would have been bowled to the ground or somebody would have pinched it during the night. And of course, some of that stuff still goes on with some of, you know, political, in some senses, backlash. From some, but there's a lot more understanding, and the young, it's interesting that young Pākehā ones who come along pick it up easier than the adults, their parents, grandparent generation. So yeah, we've got a lot of work to do, but you're right. I think we've had a shot at rioting and all that sort of stuff as a part of the many multiple strategies our people have used, to from protests to hikoi to occupations, to the use of the gun, to passive resistance, to, you know, setting up our own movements. like, you know, everything from to the iwi leaders forum to the petition for Te Reo Māori has been, we've tried every strategy, and over the last probably 5 years it's sort of quietened down a bit. We have, don't have the same activism that we used to, which I sort of point out to the Wake Up the students. Once upon a time, actually most of the activism came from young ones out of university because they got information for the first time that they never had before and are prepared to do something about it. And we still have some of those around. The likes of Tina Ngata has been great in raising issues around climate change and so on. So she doesn't sit back, and the young woman, Whaipoti, she's great as well, just to raise their consciousness. And there's a number of ones in my time that have been around, the likes of Horne and Mike Smith and Annette. I always give credit for Ken Mayer. You know, those are the ones that shook the tree that needed to be shaken at the time. But we've moved forward as a country, thank goodness. But still a way to go yet. Still a way to go yet.
Oh, you're right. Yes. Well, tell me, do you think that the new history curriculum, or sorry, the New Zealand history that they're now putting into the curriculum in schools, do you think that will help? Well, it will help, obviously, because we never had that when we were going to school. So I presume that will help, again, raising the consciousness and the awareness of actually New Zealand's history, not just Māori history, but New Zealand's history.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, thinking to when I was at school, and some will say that's a long time ago, but the social studies books were all about, you know, Rome and everything else, but Aotearoa and the images that were given to us and to a generation of my time, and probably yours, was that we were barbarians, we ate people. Well, just to tell the whole world that actually just about every society had those sorts of tikanga that they had, in one form or another. So, you know, we've all had our trials, we've all had our tribulations, but in terms of a Māori order, social order, we had things in order that protected us and kept us online. And when people did go off track, there were prohibitions. And so we had our rules and regulations, and of course that was being changed through colonisation. Teaching young kids at primary school about this stuff is wonderful. It just opens the door up to them to see a worldview that is on their back doorstep. And for our own kids, it's got to be something that reaffirms their Māoriness. That's important. The key will be about those ones a little bit older, those sort of high school ones, those ones that are at university, to have that political nous about them. And we know that we've got some work to do because so many of our people, one, haven't registered to vote and don't recognise the importance of our vote. Number two, that they're not registered to vote, they don't vote on the day, and probably three, that they picked the wrong party.
Yeah. Yes, well, that's right, and I think you are right, though. We do need to get our people registered so that they can, if they just realise the power that the vote has. So, look, I hope you don't mind if we continue just for a little bit longer to Urador, because I wanted to ask you about Matariki, and of course tomorrow is, well, I mean, I know some people have been attending events already this week and into next week as well, but tomorrow is our inaugural Matariki national public holiday, and so this is significant. But somebody did say the other day, and I think that, and I'm sure you'll be able to confirm this, but was this a private member's bill many years ago by Rahui Katane? Was it pulled by her?
That's true. And it got voted down at the time. And then it was raised again by Marama. We had it on the ballot, and it never got drawn. We tried to put it on the radar in terms of our agreements, but, those are the things that you negotiate. But it's absolutely true. Hand on heart, I can tell you that was Māori Party policy from our manifestos back in the day. But it's like a number of things that over time people finally accept stuff. And the same with the Māori, the land reforms, you know, that at the moment I believe that the Ture Whenua Act or the Māori land reforms are being put through Parliament now, and yet the Labour Party and the others probably, well, Labour Party definitely voted against it at the time when I was trying to put it through. But it comes through, and if there's a benefit for our people, so be it. But definitely Matariki was one on the agenda, I think it's all of, that'll be all of 10 years ago now.
Yes, yes. Well, no, that's I thought it was that, and somebody did mention it the other night, but that's it seems to be lost because it seems to have been lost, and it seems to be now and seen as it was a Labour Party initiative all those years ago.
Yeah, well, that's not absolutely not my recollection, and I do know that we did have it on the ballot, and it didn't move anywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah,
but at least it's
that's right. It is here now, and so for you, because it does mean about reflection and celebration, and also to look to the future. So I guess it's what I always call this annual pressing the pause button, if I can put it like that. And that's just my crude way of putting it. But it's a time where we do actually, I suppose, do a bit of a stock take. Is that crude too? You know what I mean, don't you, to Uterdor? So that we really start to think about the things that are important and have influenced us, and that's the reflection part. The celebration is what we're doing now and how we're doing, and more importantly, to continue to keep an eye on the future, what's coming over the horizon, so that we can take a planned approach to where we want to be in the years ahead.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head in all regards. So it is a time of reflection, and we just got to take stock. And that's why, you know, many of our people just in the early hours of the morning just go out and light a fire, sit out and look up, and, you know, think about those who have passed on. I take a bit of reflection time about Jenga's being lucky to still be on the earth. And then when the day comes through with karakia, and there's the time to start thinking about, as you say, a reset in time, thinking about, yes, here we go. Another round, another year. And so the dynamic that comes with Matariki is at both ends of one, like you say, the reflection element, thinking about what's happened in the past year, but all of those who have passed on. And then, number two, reset to the future, whereas I don't know whether New Year's Eve is sort of all about that. It seems to be only in the future. And most importantly, though, just taking that time out to sit out, you know, in the environment. Rangi nui e tūnei, papa tūnukoe tako tūnei, to reflect on the things that have happened and then yay, the things that are coming around the corner and just a total reset. So hopefully, I can see, around the country it's been taken up with a real fever and the learnings that have come from people like Mā Tānuku, Mā Tāmua, and many others now, off the back of his push and his research has allowed us as a nation to change our view. And you know, many people talking to me today about what they've done for Matariki. It's sort of like the national anthem, you know, when Hene Wehi Mohi sung the national anthem in Māori, everybody rubbished it. Now it's the norm, and that's what we've got to create, is a norm around Mātauranga Māori, the norm around how we see the world for our whole nation. And I'm pretty sure, like everything that's always happened, as soon as non-Māori get a little sniff of and a little touch of kaupapa Māori, they actually love it. They embrace it. They take it with them. And that's better for our nation as we move forward. So it can be nothing but good that comes from this whole adaption of a celebration and acknowledgement of Matariki. You know, and while some businesses might say, well, it's another day of production lost, actually it's a week, it's a generation of credit for the next generation, because they actually were moving the whole nation towards an acceptance of kaupapa Māori in this nation, which has got to be good for us.
Yeah, yes, it has to be. Look, I was sitting in a cafe yesterday to Uraroa, and somebody, a young guy that I'm a man that I know, came past, and he's called out and he said, happy Matariki, Merepeka. And I thought, and he's from Persia. Or what used to be called Persia, you know, and I thought, oh my goodness, how lovely. Now, how lovely was that? How lovely was that? And I thought, yep, that's the way, that's what we want to have. Everybody embracing it and using it, you know, understanding it for themselves, and then thinking about it from their point of view and with their family, you know.
Yep.
So I think it's something that's very portable to all races, and particularly though, of course, because it's from us, and I think that's just wonderful. Somebody was saying to me, to Uterdor, that nowhere in the world is there an Indigenous peoples celebration that has become a national holiday, a national holiday. Nowhere in the world. I couldn't believe that, and I still find it hard to believe, but apparently that is true. because Dr. Rangi, what's his name? Mātāmua told me that other night, so he'd know.
That's true. That's true, and you can sort of feel the pickup of our own people by the fact of our other country men and women acknowledging that we actually have got mātauranga that's important to the land. That's important for us as a nation. So it's a great initiative. It's the best time to be around right now as we move in an acceptance of the whole nation, and everybody's grabbing it with two hands. Sure, there's that holiday element, but you know what? We do that at Christmas time. So what the hang? It's all about taking that time out and being with whānau is important too. And what better way than to have a holiday where you can go back and talk with whānau, have a rest with whānau, and just rekindle whanaungatanga. So I'm enjoying the time that all my three mokopuna have come through the door. So we're going to be looking after them over the weekend and just coming back to the real, the solid stuff that keeps you going. That's time with mokopuna.